Right. Fact number one for today is that God doesn't make mistakes. And this is a preach that I was meant to have preached 3 months ago, but as the person who kind of coordinates when people preach, someone else said, oh, I'd like to preach, so that moved me on a month. And then someone said, oh, I'd like to preach, and that moved me on another month. And then someone else said, I'd like to preach, and that put me on to now. And because of that, I passionately believe that this message is not a mistake. There are some people here who have been through things in life and are part of the church, and this is a word for you for today. There are other people in the room who are visiting, and I say again that this is a word for you today. And so I through the worship, I was sobbing at times because I know the pain that some people are carrying in the room. And it's not my pain, but it's the pain that some of you friends are feeling. And so although I haven't been through what you are going through, just know that I've walked a couple of millimetres maybe of your journey. So when I was growing up, which as many of you know is a long time ago, or not so long ago, depending on how you look at it, my mum had a beautiful little stained glass thing. It wasn't the window, it was kind of a picture frame, but with a message in it. And then last month I was at Anne's Auntie Mickey's house, and she had exactly the same one. And it looks like this. It's called the Serenity Prayer, and I'll read it through first for those of you who don't know it, and then I'd just like you to read it through with me. So if I go first, God, I read it through first, and then you read it through. Follow the script, Chris. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Right, Chris, you ready? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And although that is a very short prayer, it is very, very deep. And so because of that, I'm just going to start on the first bit. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. And I think for all of us, as we look at our lives, we feel that there are things that we cannot change. And for those things, we absolutely need serenity, which is kind of a feeling of peace, of not being perturbed, of being able to go about your day without feeling overwhelmed by stuff. And that's where we need the serenity for the things that we cannot change. But my feeling is that some of the things that we feel we cannot change, first of all, there are three categories. We've got the past, we've got the present, and we've got the future. So I'm going to do a bit of crowd surfing here. I'm going to throw myself up, and I need you guys to catch me. Almost literally. So what are some of those things in our past that we feel cannot be changed? Everything is not the right answer, Sheila. I'm sorry. But it's not the changing the past, but it's effect on you. I apologize again. So what are some of the things that have happened in your past that have made you the person that you are, and you kind of carry the baggage of it with you? So Anne was just saying that, I know the back history to this, her dad and her brothers would always call her fat and ugly. And so even to, you know, a good way into our marriage, that was still her belief, even though I was trying to kick that belief into touch at every possible moment. And Chris was called stupid and insignificant. Anyone else? Steve. Steve was called Steve the Demon because he wrecked everything when he was a two-year-old and three and four. Kay. Kay was told that she was blue when you were born and so she should have died at birth. As we know, she came through an accident in life, in her youth, and she shouldn't have survived. Yep. Unloved as a child. Worthless. For me, I went to the school where my dad taught, and so everyone who was punished by my dad, given a detention or whatever, took it out on me. It wasn't my fault. But that's something that I had to endure. So this is what I should have put up earlier. There we go. Past, present, and future. So those are the past things. Each one of them has changed the way that each one of us who related to that have lived our life. What about in the present, in this moment, in this few days, in this week? What are some of the things that are happening that can impact our lives for better or for worse? Pain, absolutely. Illness, sickness, pain. Sheila, the weather. For me, one of the things was relationships. And just knowing that, you know, right now there are relationships that I can struggle with. And that has an effect on me. And the future. What can impact us about the future? Unknown. It is unknown. The fears that we can have about the future. Perhaps the uncertainty. Sorry, Jen? The fears we have about the future affect that. Whoa. So the fears we have about our future can affect our future. So cut out the fear, and your future is more likely to blossom. And so the bottom line here is that Jesus was in the past, he's in the present, and he's in the future. He knew us from before we were conceived all the way through. So it doesn't matter about the circumstances of your conception, which is a deal for some people. It doesn't matter about whether you were bullied or not, whether it's your fault or not. It doesn't matter all the things we've heard, that you were blue and you should have died, or you had an accident and you should have died, or you were unloved. It doesn't matter because Jesus was there. And I wanted to have a balloon. Has anyone got a balloon in their pocket? No? Oh. Izzy, have you got a balloon in your pocket? Don't worry, Chris. Don't worry. Because when you blow up a balloon, it's very three-dimensional. It sort of sits there on the table or on the floor or up on the wall looking at you, and it has three dimensions. But if you let the air out of it, it's still a balloon. And I know Sheila will tell me that it is technically still three-dimensional, but to most of us, it is just a flat balloon. It's like that the power of the balloon has gone. I know Anne's auntie Mickey absolutely hates balloons because, well, so does Gillian. Where's Gillian? Yeah. So balloons, when they pop, really startle people. Yeah. But that power is gone as soon as the balloon is flat. And that's kind of the picture I had for the things in our past. All those things, while they have power over us, are three-dimensional. But as we allow the love of God to come in to those moments, then the air is let out, the balloon goes down, and it's no longer something that can trip us or startle us or scare us. It's just a thing. I was describing it to someone else recently. It's a bit like when you cut yourself. So on my arms, you know when you reach into the oven and you accidentally hit the tray above and you burn yourself? I do that a lot. I haven't learned yet. But to start off with, you have this weeping red sore where the burn was, and then it goes to a scab, and then it starts to crumble, and it goes to a bold red mark on your skin, and then slowly over time it subsides. The scar is still there. I've got scars from when I was very little. But the pain isn't there. And although, as I said, I don't know the depth of many of your pain, I do know that God is there for you in the midst of it, and that he is able to suck the poison out. He is able to put his healing hand on those scars and allow his wholeness. And it's exactly the same with the present. As we look at the present, I know for me, like I said, relationships can be a really thorny issue. And there's an element where the person I'm struggling with, or who is struggling with me, I have no power over them. All I can do is sort my attitude out. But what I can do is pray God's blessing on the other person. I can speak words of encouragement when I meet them. I can release the attitude I have in my heart and just allow God's peace to come in. And it's the same for the future. That if we have anxieties about the future, we can give them to God. God says, I know the plans I have for you, and they are plans to prosper you and to give you hope. I was just so delighted as we went through the worship and the passages that were shared, because there was so much of this in it. What was it that happened to the fear? Do you remember in this, one of the songs? Swallowed in the depths of the ocean. It's so beautiful. So a little subset of this is guilt, fear, and shame. And this is just like a quick little example of the other stuff. So years ago, we can do something wrong. And maybe we do it again, maybe we do it again. And we feel guilty. And that then puts a label on our heart saying, that's who I am. So, for instance, I lose my temper and get violent and hit someone. I do that again and again and again. And so then in my heart I have a label that says I have a bad temper and am violent. And that is my shame. That is my identity, what I'm calling myself. And then in the future I have a fear that that's going to blight every relationship I have. That the violence, the anger, will just disintegrate every hope I have of a good family, of good friends, of a good workplace. And all we need to do, it's really simple, all we need to do is just go back and ask God to forgive us for our guilt, for the things we did wrong. All we need to do is listen to what God has for us. Who is it that we are? Who am I? And the answer is, I am not an angry, violent person. I am beautiful. I am a beloved son of God. I have a hope and a future. I mean, that's what I have as opposed to who I am. But God guides my feet in paths of righteousness. And what we need to do, I would say each and every one of us, is to hear what God is saying over us. Just as each one of us is unique and different, so God's plan and his purpose for each one of us is different. And as the guy who coded our DNA, he knows what that is. And so getting it straight from the source is the way to get it. You know, we can look at each other and we can sort of identify a little bit about who we are. But God gives the real truth. So, the first thing, two steps here. The first thing is just invite God to take all that stuff in the past. Bless you. And the best kind of physical way to do that is just to put your hands out like that. It's like so often we cling on to the things that we've done wrong, that we feel identify ourselves. We cling on to the identities that we've given ourselves that are wrong, and that then stops us receiving what God wants for us. So if you'd like to do that, and I'll just pray. Lord Jesus, we know that so often we hold on to the things that we shouldn't. You put your hands out on that cross and had the nails put through them so that we didn't have to hold on to all that rubbish. And we invite you just to take all the stuff. To take every hurt, every pain, every unkind word that has been spoken over us. Just take them, Jesus. Take them, take them, take them. And each time, Lord, that we try to hold on to it again, just remind us to open our hands and to receive from you. And the second part is, speak to me, Lord. So I'll just pray again. If you've got headphones on, take them off. If you've got earplug pods in, take them out. If you've got mufflers, take them out. If you've got earwax, go and get it sorted, but not now. But Lord, come and speak to us. Tell us what our true identity is. Tell us who the person that you made us to be is. And help us to align our lives with who you say we are. Help us not to fight against the direction that you've designed us to be going in. Help us to receive your wisdom and your strength for every step of our journey. Amen.